This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Best and worst of the weekend coming up. But first, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to this program the senior college basketball analyst at ESPN. And for my money, the best of the bald men on campus every Friday night at 9 o'clock here on ACC Network. Please welcome the pride of Rolling Hills, California, Jay Billis, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Billis, good morning.
What an introduction to be the best of that bald crew. That is high praise indeed.
The good news is you could have been last and still in the top three. That's the good news.
Okay. I said at the top of the show, Florida State, Miami, and Duke are in really good shape, and for anybody else to join them, they've got to get in their neighborhood. Fair or unfair right now in the ACC?
Are you talking about the win the league or get in the NCAA tournament?
NCAA tournament, Florida State, Miami, and Duke seem to be like teams that are in pretty good shape. And if Wake and Notre Dame and anybody else wants to join them, it's their responsibility now to do the paperwork, to get the math done so that the committee – because right now I think the committee can circle those three and go, okay, we'll let you know on the others. If you want to make sure you're in that circle, it's your responsibility to get there.
I think that's right. I think that's right. And I think, you know, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Notre Dame. I had Louisville in there, but they seem to be going in the opposite direction, both in the way they're playing and then their resume. It's just sort of unusual, guys, that we're talking about the league quite this way at this time of year, because it's not the norm. And I know the coaches push back a little bit saying, hey, the league is better than the numbers and the perception and all that. And I think they're right. I think the league is, you know, it's got some better teams than the analytics indicate. But my sort of problem with that theory is we can't as observers of the game and analysts, whatever they call us now. Remember when it was color men? We used to be color men. but when we... You know, when we talk about the analytics and praising the league, saying, hey, it's got nine teams in the top, 50 and all this stuff, six teams in the top 30 of the RPI and all that business, when it's only got one team that's ranked, it's first time in 40 years that's happened, that only one team was ranked or one team got a vote, which was a couple weeks ago. So you kind of have to acknowledge this is not the vintage year of the ACC, but it doesn't mean that teams can't win, and if they get in the tournament, can't do something. But I agree with you, Wes. Like, they're going to have to – you got to beat the top teams in the league this year. It's not going to be enough that you sort of do your business against the bottom of the league. You got to beat – that's why Florida State and Miami are in the position they're in now, is because they beat Duke. And if you don't beat or play extraordinarily well against Duke – I'm not sure that wins against the rest of the league are going to resonate with anybody outside of Greensboro.
Jay, what do you make of North Carolina? When they look good, man, they really look the part. And when they lose, boy, it's almost spectacular. I mean, their five losses are just like, goodness gracious, who are these guys? What do you make of North Carolina as we sit here late January?
They have a different personnel makeup. So when people say, hey, they don't offensive rebound like they used to, they play a little bit differently, and they've got a four-man in Brady Manick who plays out on the perimeter most often. So he's not near the basket, and their transition game is not quite as powerful or as good. But I think people tend to forget, Carolina wasn't that good last year. I mean, they made the tournament, but they got bounced out by Wisconsin, and they just weren't that good. And they're a good team, but they're not a great team, but they're a good team. I think the biggest issue they have, Pack, is they come to games now ready to play. I don't think they come ready to fight. And when they've had some deficits, like they did against Wake Forest or some other other games they played in, the deficits grow instead of them fighting back. That's, I think, the biggest issue for them. They've got the personnel to be better than they are. They've had a couple injuries here and there. Dawson Garcia was out for a while. They've had some COVID issues and all that. McCoy was out. But they're better than they're playing. But this is not one of North Carolina's best best rosters, to put it that way.
Jay, we have also head scratchers in this league. I mean, you mentioned Louisville. That's a head scratcher to me. You saw a team Saturday that Pack loved going into the season, and now heads or tails, I don't know what has transpired at Syracuse outside of constantly hearing the zone's not any good. That's the other thing that is kind of plaguing this league, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, I know what Syracuse is, their problems are, and I don't think they're fixable, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to score a ton of points to win games, and they've really only got two ball handlers, and they both, you know, they can't play together. So if you really go out and pressure them, you can give them a problem. And then if you wind up deciding you want to take out Buddy Boeheim and Joseph Girard and just sort of face guard them the whole game like Duke did, you know, where are they going to get their scoring from? Can they score enough points to beat really good teams? And I think the answer is no. They're better than they played against Duke. Like, they're not going to miss that many shots all the time, but they're not going to make them all either. And that's sort of the problem. You know, when I watched Louisville play early in the year against Michigan State, my biggest concern about Louisville was consistently being able to score and from what positions. And that's, you know, that they don't seem to have a flow on offense yet. And I don't, you know, I there aren't going to be any shutouts in basketball. So when people say defense wins championships, I agree. Like, you've got to be able to defend at a high level. But defense alone has never won a basketball game. Like, you got to be able to score, and I think they have a problem scoring. You just don't know where they're going to get it from, and it's been problematic.
Jay, we just did accounting, trying to rank the league 1 through 15. It's not based on expectations; it's based on what you have seen. If we all would agree that the Sunshine State teams and Duke are the best three, how would you rank them today? 1, 2, 3.
Duke, well, and Florida State's beaten Miami twice, so you'd have to say Florida State, Miami. Mm-hmm. Although I actually think Miami, they're better offensively. You know, the game they lost at Florida State, they lost by 1 point, and, you know, it was a really bad call at the end of the game. They kind of hurt them. So I was surprised. Then they got way down against Florida State at home. They were 9-1 at home, I think, going into that game, and then wound up losing by a point. So it's hard to say that the team that lost twice is better, but I actually think Miami may be the more difficult team to guard than Florida State. Florida State's just so deep, but I go Duke, Florida State, Miami, just because of Florida State's two wins over Miami.
By the way, I'm glad that you confirmed that you thought that was a bad call at the end of the Florida State Miami game one, because I said that and got chastised on this show.
No,
like,
no.
I don't think so. I thought it was a bad call. I'm glad you.
That's one thing I don't. But it's one thing I don't understand about the way, you know, the way we do sports in America. Like, the result stands. Nobody, you know, and all we care about is the result and the result of the call and the result of the game. Nobody's trying to take the game away from Florida State. But when we're analyzing, if we analyze, well, that player shouldn't have made that cut there. That coach should not have done that. That coach should not have made that decision. We can say that was a bad call. That official made a bad call there. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just a factual thing and an opinion thing. None of what we say as broadcasters have ever influenced or changed a call. We have no impact on that at all. And for some reason it's taboo. And I understand why the league say the coaches can't comment on it, the players can't comment on it. But we get to, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, fair point there. All right.
So you agree with Jay?
I agree with Jay.
Oh, finally.
Not on the bad call. I just agree with his analysis of why we don't. Yeah. All right. Here's the interesting team in this league. There's two of them, Notre Dame and Wake Forest. We had kind of an expectation level of Notre Dame. They kind of took care of business Saturday at Louisville. I'm fascinated by where their ceiling might be. Much like I am with Wake Forest and the fact that Steve Forbes in year two found the perfect three guys to add to his order, and now all of a sudden they're having success. They get it in two different ways, as you know, but those two teams are going to intrigue me the rest of the regular season to kind of see where they finish, not just in the conference, but with their national resume as well.
And they're really the two teams that, along with North Carolina, that are going to determine the success of the league this year. Because if they can do well down the stretch and get into the tournament, and then, you know, obviously if you get into the tournament, you have a chance to do something once you get there. I mean, I actually think for the ACC this year, the Pac-12 is a good example last year. Like, the Pac-12 got dumped on the whole year as not being a good league. And they were the darling of the tournament. You know, Oregon State goes to the Elite Eight and all that stuff. I mean, we can go down the list of the Pac-12 teams that did really well. Well, the Big Ten laid the biggest egg in history. And so, to your point, like, I think Notre Dame is a really good offensive team. And early on in the season, they weren't performing as well offensively. In fact, Mike Bray had to go to a ball screen continuity offense, which crushed him. Personally, like, he hated doing it because he wants to give his guys freedom and let them make reads and all that. And they've gone to that. It's been really successful. Now they're making better reads out of it. Early on in the year, Prentice Hubb was not playing like Prentice Hubb, to the point where I think his coaches were asking him, is everything okay with you off the floor? And it was. I mean, he's a great young man, a great leader, great teammate. But he's starting to play like Prentice Hubb again, and I think Dane Goodwin's one of the best guards in the league. Once they beat Kentucky, and all five guys rebounded like their life depended on it against Kentucky, and I think they won like 66-63 or something like that. They played a lot better. I think they're 9-1 since then. So they're doing well. They're not a natural defensive team. Like, they're not a great defensive team, but they can score. And as long as they can put up 75-80. They can play with just about anybody.
Jay, I keep waiting on Virginia Tech, and I thought that maybe some momentum last week. They go to BC, they're up 11, they let that thing slip away, tip of the hat to BC, great win for those guys. And now all of a sudden you get this three games this week between now and Saturday. Man, on the road at North Carolina, you got Miami at home, at Florida State. I mean, I know I like their team, but at some point in time you do have to win games. Is it getting too late for Virginia Tech? Do you think they've got the means to find another gear and take it to another level? Or do you think, hey, they are what they are?
Well, Pack, to your point, the fact that none of us even mentioned them when we were talking about the teams, you know, to go to the tournament, because I agree with you. Like, not only the first half of the season did I think Virginia Tech was really good. I'm baffled by their record in the conference. So it's sort of a thing about don't take anything for granted, because if I remember right, I think they started out 0-4 in the league, and they had some really close games perhaps they should have won, stuff like that. And man, once that ball starts rolling downhill, you know how you get confidence from winning, you can lose confidence when you lose games. And I don't know exactly what's going on in the Virginia Tech locker room, what the mood of the team is. I mean, I watched them play the other day, I think against NC State, and they played really hard, and they looked good because they've got good personnel, and I think they're good defensively. But I couldn't figure out, like, how is this team 0-4? I think it was 0-4. Right. But you're looking at them going, how are they 0-4? And I saw them play at Duke, and they gave Duke a hard time. It's really, you know, it's really hard to imagine. I don't know if they can pull themselves out of it enough to make the tournament or all that, but they can. They're dangerous. They're dangerous.
All right, going out the door, who's the best coach in the ACC this year? So far.
As far as coach of the year?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, coach of the year, I would probably give it to Steve Forbes for what he's doing at Wake Forest. You can't give it to Coach K because, you know, the guys that have 1,000 wins don't win Coach of the Year. They get like lifetime achievement awards. You're not allowed. Yeah. When you reach that stature, like, you know, Boeheim or Coach K, they don't get Coach of the Year. They get Hall of Fame, lifetime achievement, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, when you get lifetime achievement awards that you're going to be moving up to the up tees pretty soon.
Actually, there's part of me that wants Kay to win Coach of the Year going out the door for like the first time in, what, 18 years or something like that? Going out the door. Hey, by the way, with all the other little things you've collected along the way this year, here's a Coach of the Year award for you.
Well, don't you think, like, that's the only thing I don't care about? Like, media can vote on the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't care if the writers vote or not. Do it however you want. I don't care. But Coach of the Year should be voted on only by the coaches, because they're the ones that know they're the ones that know what their jobs entail. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the most useless media presented award, because we always give it to, well, this guy exceeded expectations, or this guy did it when he was supposed to, or this guy. It changes every year.
Right.
And it depending on the circumstances. And I hate it. I can't keep up with who's got one. The only Coach of the Year awards I know about are Seth Greenberg's, because he always says I'm 2-time ACC Coach of the Year. That's the only one I can keep up with.
By the way, better spin rate these days. You or Greenberg?
Yeah. Who's got the better spin rate?
Of our driver or of our bald heads?
You pick.
I don't know if you heard the other day. I called Greenberg a corn dog with ears.
You know, if you only knew a good lawyer.
I don't.
Oh, yeah. You better be careful. That libel. That Greenberg, take that personal now.
You know, no. Truth is a defense. Truth is a defense.
I would say you're going to get a letter jacket for doing back-to-back Duke games, but you've already got one. Jay Billis will be with Reese Davis tomorrow night at Cameron for Clemson and Duke on ESPN2. It is always a unique and honored pleasure for us to welcome you to Packer and Durham, sir.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
All right. Jay Billis, thank you, sir. Have a great week.
Corn dog with ears.
Corn dog. You'll save that one for later in the week?
No, I mean, I'm not getting any legal battle there.
I don't want to get in that one.
So I asked Jay if he knew a good lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, Greenberg, take that personal.
That's it.
See you in court.
When we come back, best and worst of the weekend. Oh, yeah. Pax cobbled the list together. We count it down. Man, Georgia Tech at home yesterday.
Playing some deep.
Ladies getting after it on the guard side, and North Carolina winning the duels. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Many thanks to Jay Billis.
Oh, yeah.
Always insightful. Has Duke number one in his top three in the counting. What's that? Blue Devils won.
You kind of get, you know, just kind of think about it here. Duke is 0-2 against Miami, Florida State.
Winless against both.
Right. Duke is 0-2. Florida State is 3-0.
Florida State's got to be 1.
Miami is
1-2.
1-2.
See, your math worked out great there.
It did. Yeah. Durham again. Double check my work. I'm right. And I hate to be the guy on this. I really
don't. Don't be the guy, Wes.
But I'm telling you, right now, Florida State, Miami, and Duke, and then there's a little bit of a line. It's not a thick line, but it's a line. And you want to join them, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Carolina.
Wake Forest is going to remind you they beat Florida State by 20-something.
Okay, that's fine, too. Wake's 1-2 against the line. They've lost at Miami, and they lost to Duke, both on the road.
Now, they beat Florida Duke at home.
Or lost to Duke at home, and they played Florida State and Winston and won the game. They're 1-2. So Wake's got to win. Notre Dame?
Will you on delay?
Nothing yet. Notre Dame's got to find one.
Well, Notre Dame, we still got ball to play, man.
Just I know. Plenty of ball. I keep telling you that. You're the one trying to salt people away there in the first hour.
Well, I think the right-hand side of the standings.
Got to win the tournament.
Hey, you're all sub-500 and right now are not a factor.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Got to get in the game, right?
You want to go to the tournament? I suggest you get hot in Brooklyn.
All right.
That's what I suggest.
Best of the weekend. Let's start in the Twin Cities. Right over there on campus where Packer used to go as a child. My parents met at debate camp. They roll the quad.
I went to kindergarten at Wake Forest.
Well, sure you did.
Sure did.
Deeks roll the quad after beating Carolina by 22. Alondis Williams out there rolling the quad, I see.
We got a guy out there in a blazer. What's going on
there? I think that's the marketing guy.
Is that right?
That's the chief marketing officer there for John Curry.
I mean
there's Dallas Walton and Forbes yucking it up with the kids.
I don't think I'd wear the blazer out to the quad for that.
He came right from the arena pack.
I don't care. Hosting. You can always make a quick stop.
Corporate
maybe
hosting.
A sweatshirt or something. Well, you got to roll the quad. I mean, you got to roll up your sleeves. You don't go out there with a blazer. Sport coat.
We'll pass that along.
I'm just saying. I mean,
we just run the pictures, Pac. We don't talk about folks' attire.
It's my list.
Okay, there you go.
Guy, you can do with a blazer. I don't think so.
Next on the best of the weekend, BC comeback?
BC comeback. These are the comeback kids, man. Down 23 at Clemson, no problem. Down double digits at home to the Hokies,
no problem. Nice pass to Captain Canada.
I give BC a lot of credit, man. Their dudes are playing hard, right? Yeah. Coach Grantson, he's got them engaged.
Yep.
And what looked to be maybe just an easy win. Man, we got BC on the schedule this week. That's a layup. Wrong answer. These dudes are coming after you, man. Eagles are playing.
Big win for Earl Grant.
Excellent.
1-2 out of 3. Let's go to Notre Dame. They shoot 65% from 3 on the road. Lord. Blake Wesley, spot him up.
Everybody spot
him up. Nate Leshesky. Dane Goodwin, smoke him if you got him. Bang. Look at all this.
Yeah, Dane will join us next hour. And Notre Dame down 7 on the road. And I keep telling you, Wes, I there's something missing at Louisville. I just can't seem to put my finger on. In fact, Jay sounded kind of the same way regarding the Cardinals. They get Virginia tonight. And really a globber special. Mm-hmm. But that was a big, big win for Notre Dame on the road.
Wolfpack in the house shoots 60% against Virginia?
Yep.
Come on.
Nobody does that, right?
Yeah.
Not against that defense.
Quavion Smith. Look at this. Get all of that.
Lighten it up. Wolfpack Nation feeling good. Watching W's at home. It's been a while. First one of the year against an ACC team. But NC State's got pieces, Wes. Right? We keep talking about that. Even when Kevin Keats was on with us a couple weeks ago, when they got it dialed in, they could be a problem. They've won games on the road. Now can you take care of business at home? They did Saturday. And for Virginia, kind of like Virginia Tech, man, those are games you got to look at and say, hey, if we're going to get to the tournament, you got to win those kind of games. Good win for the Wolfpack.
To Quavion Smith.
He can light it up, man.
On the bounce out of the corner. Shoot.
He can score.
Florida State, Miami have played twice. They've been two really good games, by the way.
Yeah.
Different style games both times. Went one way in Tallahassee, another way Saturday, where it was kind of cut into halves. I tell you what, though, both compete really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to watch them get into their benches.
Two good teams.
Yeah.
Crowd was good, too. Shout out to the crowd of Miami.
You know, atta boy down there, Coral Gables.
Yeah, you questioned that last week, but hey, guys, pay attention, man. This is a good basketball team.
Crowd early start at the Watsco. Got them in there.
They were fired up.
Yeah, they were.
It was a tremendous contest in the second half.
Yeah, good to see OB and Corey on site getting that one done. Wolfpack won their first ACC home game of the season. We just told you about that. Good for State. There's Sebron getting to the rim.
He's the best in the league. He's the best in the league with ball on the wing, and I'm getting to the basket. See if you can stop me. The answer is no, you cannot. He's unbelievable.
There's Caden Shedrick. He cannot block Jericho Helms. And here goes my man Smith. Ooh, doink. Little punch. Whoa, okay.
Stayed him fired up, man. Wolfpack Nation feeling good last week.
Yeah. Pac mentioned this in hour one. We had a cancellation of a duel over in Raleigh with Virginia Tech and NC State. So that led our cameras to Carmichael Arena. And we got North Carolina and Duke on the mat. And I think it's Carolina that defeated Duke.
That would be correct.
Yeah, not Duke defeating Carolina, it says on the screen. Carolina won the duel.
Robin the Duke fan in charge of graphics this morning.
And another... Another win for Austin O'Connor, by the way, who will be within one win of 100 in his collegiate wrestling career. So there you go.
He's a bad man now.
Yeah.
North Carolina, one of 4 ACC teams ranked in the top 25 in wrestling.
There you go.
Really good.
We will check the ladies' scoreboard from yesterday here in just a moment, but of the best of the weekend, Georgia Tech defensively, Nell Fortner, you get in a stance now if you play in Atlanta. I mean, Tar Heels hold Carolina to 38. Third fewest points for Carolina since ACC women's basketball became a thing at the NCAA level in the 77-78 campaign.
Terrific win for Georgia Tech. When the ladies play, again, 6 teams ranked in the top 25. That does not include a Virginia Tech team that's really talented. that played NC State yesterday. I mean, you get great matchups. But
when
you shut somebody down like North Carolina 38, you're getting the job done in the ATL.
By the way, Lorella Kubai went to the floor late in the game with an ankle injury yesterday in Chapel Hill, or in Atlanta, rather, against Carolina. We'll keep an eye on that, though, as the week progresses before the ladies get cranked up again later this week. So that's best of the weekend, by the way.
Yeah, you know, we could have thrown some others in there, like LaRavia going for 31-10 from an individual standpoint.
Oh, he had the marketing guy in a coat.
Captain
on the
Canada.
Quad. Going Captain Canada was big.
Could James have been an individual shout out. So we're giving kind of that deal now. But you don't wear a blazer to a roll the quad event. You don't.
You come for the entertainment, you come for the information, and you also come for the analysis of what people in pictures may have.
Well, I mean, would you agree?
If I said, again,
hey, Wes, let's go
the
roll,
young man.
Let's go to Louisville and roll Satterfield towels. You wouldn't say, Pack, I think I'm going to go with the gray sport coat. No, you'd sit there in a baseball hat.
Again,
jeans,
I'm going to go on the hunch.
Maybe a face mask.
I'm going on the hunch that the gentleman might have come from the Coliseum to kind of make sure that the participants and the student athletes and the coaches staff were taken care of. Might have been some sort of marketing official in athletics.
It's okay. I'm a pro marketing guy, but let me tell you something. If you're going to go to the quad, to roll the quad at Wake Forest, what kind of heave can you have with a roll of toilet paper with a blazer? You're limited. You're maybe like a three branch guy.
I don't think he was actually rolling the quad. Well, he was kind of helping the athletic folks there.
But just give the guy the camera and let him take pictures, because if you're wearing a blazer, you can't get to the third branches.
Can I share my deep concern this morning is that this gentleman, whomever he might be,
well, he is going to get identified
in the blazer on the quad that we showed in the picture a moment ago. And Drew, I don't know if we can freeze that photo or not, but this poor gentleman is arriving at his office today on the Wake Forest University campus, and somebody, one of his colleagues, has seen this segment to where Mark Packer is critical of this gentleman having a gray coat on while rolling the quad.
He can't.
And he's walking into his office thinking he's just going to have a very enjoyable Monday off a big win. And somebody in the office is going to be, well, you know, Mark Packer said you looked ridiculous with the blazer on.
I didn't say you looked ridiculous. You shouldn't wear a blazer to roll in the quad issue. You can't get any height on the toilet paper.
But you also know that what gets said on this show and what is transferred to the person in real life is never the same thing. There's some slight embellishment that goes on.
I'm just saying, next time you beat up on somebody and you decide to rush the court and you say, hey, we're taking this to the quad.
Again, I think this is probably somebody involved in John Curry's athletic administration or somebody like that. He happened to have a blazer on the quad.
That's a bad look.
It is.
Look at Alondis,
this
man.
Poor guy's walking into
Alondis.
His office.
Alondis is looking like at the 17th branch on that tree. I'm heaving this toilet paper, and the dude in the blazer couldn't get it to the second limb. I mean, seriously, you're so limited in what you can do. You know, we showed a picture last week of Brent Pry at Virginia Tech in the snowball fight.
Yeah, that was the real
excellent
deal.
Excellent form, right?
Great form.
Pry coming out there in a
elbow
three.
Height was excellent.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Right.
Perfect,
there.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That guy, you can't heave. When you do, listen.
Poor guy.
When you do the toilet paper
heave,
you got to lean back and
taking bullets from his colleagues. You know, Mark Parker was after you this morning on that TV show. Again, I'd say the whole point has just been established. You don't know the guy. You've been critical of the blazer attire set.
You don't wear a sport
coat. He's probably come from the Joel to the quad, the whole bit. He's just trying to make sure it all comes off in the right way.
You think they would be able to do it without the guy in the blazer? I think so. I think we if Operation Roll the Quad was going on, can we do it without the dude in the blazer? Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
We have gotten ourselves into a fix here.
I'm 100% accurate with that statement.
We being him.
That's fine. I'll take total heat on this like I normally do.
All right. Hard to believe when we come back we're going to go worst of the weekend.
That's right.
If you thought about it, you'd have put that on the worst of the weekend,
well,
right?
Well, didn't we're going to show that picture.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. All right, we gave you the best of the weekend.
I agree with that.
And now, the worst of the weekend.
All right. This is never a pretty list. So
somebody's got to do
it. If you think you're on it, and especially the way it's been concocted this week, it's kind of direct.
There's a theme.
Yeah, there is.
What do I always say about sporting events? I say this on radio nonstop.
Okay.
Just entertain me. That's what sports should be. Okay. Sports should be the ultimate getaway from all the headaches of everyday life. Like the NFL this weekend, that was entertaining. The NFL right. last weekend, snoozers.
Right.
Just entertain me. So keep that in mind when we go through the worst of the weekend.
All right, here we go. In descending order, I noticed.
Yes, on purpose.
Pittsburgh trailed by 32.
And you were there to see it.
I was.
Call it and explain it.
Yeah.
32 they were down. 32 stinking points. Both teams, what, 2-5 in the league going
That's
into it.
Yes, sir.
One of them down by 32.
Yeah. Tigers defended.
Apparently.
Tigers did defend. They limited John Hughley touches in the first half. I thought that was a key to the performance.
And they made shots.
Yeah. Where That's I told you about first. Chase Hunter, I thought that was a cool piece.
Yeah. Mentioned that earlier.
Syracuse.
You're on the list.
Trailed by 31. At DUKE, fight, fight, fight.
Goodness gracious.
Mark Williams? Boy, Mark Williams got what he wanted at the rim, didn't he?
At will. Whatever he wanted, he took. Yep. And Syracuse said, thanks, do you want another?
Oh, Paolo Banchero. Look at that. Williams again.
Nothing, nice window. Nothing competitive Whoa! About this game.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did dunk on his head.
Ooh. Yeah, 31.
Miami, before losing by one, these are the worst, too. When you trail 26 in your building.
Or anywhere.
No, but you trail in your building by 26, you got to dynamite the crowd. So I give Larinaga credit. They got that thing back and got it rolling. But trail by 26. Never led in a game, did they?
Never led. There was never a lead change in a one-point game.
How about that?
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. North Carolina?
They're on the list.
Yeah, they're fourth. In deficit. Trailed by 23, lost by 22 at Wake Forest. I mean the Deeks, man. They get rolling, you better back up.
Well, they did back up. That's exactly what they did. It wasn't Miami ugly, but it was ugly if you're a baby blue fan.
What a pass.
Wake was just having fun, man. Deeks were just down there flying around, making shots, toyed with them.
It was like the old days, wasn't it?
Well, in the old days, we had more competitive games.
Virginia?
They're on the list.
Trailed by 21?
Yeah.
Oh, Armon Franklin? Nope. Jaden Gardner? Nope. Goodness.
Virginia goes through spurts sometimes, Wes, where they don't make a shot.
Yeah.
I thought NC State played well.
Yeah, no question.
You sense a trend here with this worst of the weekend?
I do.
Just entertain me. Say it all the time.
Louisville on the list. Yep. Led by 7 at the half, trailed by 14.
Yep. At Oof. Home, game you got to have. Notre Dame shoots 65% from 3.
Tell you what, some of you old Fighting Irish fans look like a Rich Branning type Dame, didn't it?
There's a name for the past.
Yeah. Duck Williams. I mean, you're getting guys out on the perimeter letting it go.
And that's a proud fan base up there. You know, Russ gets his jersey retired. I mean, there are a lot of folks excited to be there.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of standing around the second half going, man, do something. Make us excited about something. Didn't happen.
I'm a little confused. Deke Storm the Court is on Worst of the Weekend?
I didn't like it.
What do you mean you didn't like it?
I didn't like it. I love rolling the quad. I get it. But, man, you just beat a team that's unranked by 20-something.
What are we doing? Oh, no. Oh.
No, there was a party going on. Don't get me wrong now. That's a whole separate issue.
Whoa, hey, what?
Wake fans are just like, man, we don't care. We're going to beat everybody and celebrate. I mean, it's been that kind of year.
Apparently.
Football, basketball.
By the way, shout out to a legacy for the sponsorship on the Deacon hat at the game there Saturday
yep.
night. Might as well give them a little love. They're all over the screen.
Marketing department doing a nice job.
And then they went to the quad.
There's no problem. I just take your blazer off. You're going to heave some toilet paper. Deeks look good, though, man.
Anybody else you want to add on this?
No, I basically
you
gave
shoveled
everybody.
Shoveled it out there today, Ned.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, it's apparently my list now. So there
I'm
it is.
I'm not necessarily. You're the one you say you watch everything on Saturdays and Sundays.
I do.
In the fall, your lists are outstanding.
Well, you didn't like that list?
I like that list, too. It's just a different tack for you with Worst of the
Weekend.
Well,
I mean, it's
but it was a factor this weekend.
No doubt. Right. I mean, like I said, entertain me. The NFL was awesome, and we had some games in the ACC that, quite frankly, were even Chester and Fuller were like, man, come on, let's go for another walk. I mean, 32, 31, 23, 21. I mean, come on, man. All we do is brag about games decided by 5 points or less. And
right.
This weekend, we really didn't get that. The Miami-Florida State game was awesome, mm-hmm. right? But we really didn't get those kind of games this weekend.
Are you a little concerned about the separation at this point?
No, I'm not concerned. It is what it is.
Right?
I mean,
in terms of the quality of game we're going to get.
Well, I hope that we get better quality. I'm going to be completely transparent.
I mean, I thought Pitt Clemson would be closer.
I did too.
Thought Virginia NC State.
I mean, no disrespect. Don't take this personally. But when Clemson was up 32, I wasn't watching anymore.
No. I totally understand that. But, I mean, we had games end with 20-point decision, Syracuse-Duke.
But it was a 20-point decision, but it felt like 100.
I agree with that. We had a 12-point game, Notre Dame-Louisville. We had a 14-point game, Virginia NC State. We had that whole 27-point deal with Pitt and Clemson at the end. And Wake Carolina was 22.
So it wasn't. If you're in for drama, you got it all sucked up by the Miami and Florida State game.
Totally.
And then there was just nothing left for anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, we went through a couple weekends ago where you had 7 games and you had 5 that were 5 or less.
Right.
We've now played 11 conference games, if you count Saturday and midweek last week. In fact, we've played 14 conference games in the last 3 playing days, and we've had 5 of the 14 be 5 or less.
We got spoiled a little bit.
A little bit with the competitive game.
Yeah.
Now, can we come back to it? Sure. You have 9 games between – you have 9 games during the week. You got 3 tonight, 2 tomorrow night, and 4 on Wednesday night.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We got Virginia Tech at North Carolina tonight. We got BC at Wake. We got Louisville at Virginia. How many of those feel like 5 or less to you?
1.
1. Last one.
BC Wake Forest?
No,
Virginia Tech Carolina?
Yeah. Louisville, Virginia.
Yeah, well, Louisville, Virginia, I suspect, will be a low-scoring game.
Feels that way.
Yes.
Right?
Now, tomorrow night, I think Syracuse visiting Pittsburgh gets really big for both. That's one of those games that feels really big.
Why?
Just because somebody's got to gap the momentum here. Because, Pac, here's the story. These teams, what did you say about football? Remember what you said about football, like either, I know you said it in 20, and you may have said it in the fall of 21. Maybe you get to a point in the season where all of a sudden, what do you have to play for?
Well, I think we're kind of there in hoops. I do. I think the right side right now, with the exception of Virginia Tech, and this is the week, at Carolina, Miami, at Florida State. That's what I said to you earlier. They got to win at least 2 of 3. Because when you start, if you're being realistic, I'm not coming out here with the pom-poms, hey, we're going to get 11 teams in the tournament. I'm not going there. I'm not. If you're being realistic, the right side, when we put the standings up and the ACC
right.
on television,
sure.
the entire right-hand side of your screen,
yeah.
I think the only way any of those teams get to the NCAA tournament is to win the ACC tournament. I mean, if we put the standings up right now, I kind of explain what this means. I think you can draw the line right after Louisville and Virginia. Everybody else underneath, you're going to have to win in Brooklyn. Now, call me crazy.
So, BC down.
The entire right-hand side of the screen.
Anybody
BC,
with a losing record
Syracuse,
in the league.
Syracuse, Clemson, right. State, New Tech, Old Tech, and Pitt. You want to get to the NCAA tournament? I want to hear about, you steal one from Florida State. You got to win the tournament. Look at the West. 8-9, 9-10, 11-8, 10-10, 10. That is not getting in the dance.
Right.
Period.
And as we said, and I said this at the top of the show, if you're Notre Dame and Wake Forest, you got to stay in the neighborhood with Florida State, Miami, and
right.
Duke.
And tonight,
and if you're Carolina, you got to find a way to get in that neighborhood too. By the way, you don't have a quad one yet.
That's exactly right. And on the left-hand side at the very bottom, you see Louisville and Virginia. They're both 5-4. Well, tonight, somebody's going to be 5-5.
Okay. And whoever goes to 5-5, do you push them toward the right side, even though they literally will not be on the right side?
The loser of that game's 11-9, 5-5 in a league that's 4-16 against ranked teams, non-conference. I mean, it's becoming pretty apparent, I think, as we go along here, because the league did not get the job done in the non-conference with quality wins. The onus is to dominate and win a ton of games in the league. And if all of a sudden you're under 500 in league play, if you want to be completely honest and upfront with this, everybody on that right side, hey, play hard, but you better be really good in Brooklyn if you're going to get to the NCAA tournament.
All right, when we come back, we will check the ladies' scoreboard from yesterday. Oh, and by the way, Georgia Tech beat the Fighting Clayton Staters by 50. We'll cap that as well. But, hey, we told you NC State, Virginia Tech yesterday on ACCN would be good, and guess what? It was. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
CN is the number for the program. Many thanks to Jay Billis, who joined us earlier. Dane Goodwin, Anthony Polite are coming up in the Power Hour, a mere moments away.
Polite, by the way, an ACC, I should say legacy player. His dad, Michael Polite, great player at Florida State. Back before they joined the Atlantic, right as they joined the league, I think. So we'll look forward to catching up with him.
And his second appearance on the show.
Yeah.
Dane makes his debut.
Hey, quick question about Dane Goodwin. His dad is the coach of Division III Capital in Columbus, Ohio. Damon, do you know where he went to high school?
I do not.
Upper Arlington, Ohio. Do you know the nickname of
Upper?
I do
not.
The Golden Bears.
Jack.
That's where Jack Nicklaus went to high school, thus the name the Golden Bear.
The Golden Bears.
Yeah.
In Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them running around up there, aren't
they? Stop it. Okay, here we go.
It's like when the Bobcats were here in Charlotte. I always got a kick out of the NBA team being named the Bobcats. I'm like, you know what? In a trillion years, since there's been a thing called Earth, there's never been a Bobcat.
Didn't
Charlotte
you say there was a Bobcat running around here one time?
I think that was a coyote.
Oh, coyote, sorry. All right, here we go. Coyotes Sunday scoreboard. Let's move along before we alienate somebody else on the show here today.
I'm not alienating anybody.
The marketing guy took bullets at Wake Forest.
I don't know who the guy is.
I know.
Just
don't That's
wear
the
a
point.
Blazer to a toilet paper contest.
All right, here we go. Let's get to the scoreboard. One men's game yesterday, a little makeup fill-in game. Clayton State came up the highway. Made the move up 75.
Hope they enjoyed the check.
Well, they didn't have to come but about 13 miles to get it.
Wow.
Division II team got beat by 50. Michael DeVoe had 26-7, you see. Georgia Tech put 100 on the board for the first time in a long time, 50 in each half. And Jordan Usher, big dunks. DeVoe, Gigi Barea finishing at the rim. Pastner's team makes up for the postponement and cancellation of the Alabama A&M game with a 50-point burger on the Clayton Staters.
Great.
Okay. Want to move to the ladies?
I do.
By the way, Georgia Tech has Florida State Wednesday night. So
much more competitive.
There we go. Let's get to the women's scoreboard, shall we? We're going to start in Raleigh. We told you NC State, Virginia Tech might be pretty good, and it was. Kenny Brooks got a really, really good basketball team. NC State wins 51-45. Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, 14 points, 7 rebounds. Kunane, 7 points on just 2 of 16 from the floor.
That's an impressive win for NC State. You come off the emotion. And same thing with Louisville. They beat Wake Forest at home by a dozen, as we'll get to. But I think both those teams, given all the hype, what was at stake Thursday night, the way NC State, again, comes out of nowhere with that 31-8 burst in the fourth quarter for the win. Both of them, you know, it can have been real easy to have a Sunday hangover, if you will.
Yeah.
But both NC State, especially the Wolfpack, against a really, really talented Virginia Tech team, to win that game is really impressive to me. And Louisville, they take care of business at home against, right now, a struggling Wake Forest team.
Yeah. Haley Van List, 17 points, by the way. When you talk about the Wolfpack, though, We're talking about a team that shot 32% for the ball game and still found a way to win. It's their lowest field goal percentage in a contest over a year. Now, here's the tricky part about this game. Virginia Tech is good, and NC State's coming off that incredible comeback and the high of Thursday night, Mark. You know, you got to be – if you're going to be one of those teams, you got to find a way to win. By the way, that was filthy right there from Ja'Kia Brown-Turner. But congratulations to Wes Moore. I still like Virginia Tech as a threat in this league and a competitive team for the NCAA tournament out of the ACC.
Agreed. 17 straight ACC wins, though, for the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Impressive.
No doubt.
That's we said this last week, and we're going to say it all season long. NC State and Louisville seem to be connected at the hip, right? Yeah. Both of them are Final Four caliber teams. Both of them are national championship caliber teams. We wish we could see them play more often. Maybe the next time we see them is for an ACC title, for all we know. But they're big time. But this league is so deep. What quality teams. I know Virginia Tech doesn't have a number beside their name, but they're worthy of one.
Yeah.
And so every night the ladies play, you're almost guaranteed good games.
All right, here's a look at where NC State's calendar will send them in the games ahead here, because the Wolfpack.
It's called Fade to Black.
We had to fade to black there real quick, didn't we?
That was kind of like foreshadowing our show. Here we go.
At Carolina, at Notre Dame, Florida State at home, Georgia Tech at home. Ooh, my goodness. 17 straight wins and the road still to find.
Still numbers beside teams' names.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like when you go through a men's schedule, you will see them dotted throughout on the ladies' side.
Three of the next four of the next six for Wes Moore's team. Georgia Tech. On that list, they were a winner yesterday. They beat North Carolina 55-38. We've already told you, third fewest points allowed by the Yellow Jackets since 1977-78, long before they were ever in the league. Carolina's fewest, third fewest since then, 37 in 2012, the last time a Tar Heel team failed to put more points on the board. Georgia Tech, by the way, had lost four straight to Carolina. As well. Louisville, a winner as well. 72-60. They're 9-0 all time now against Wake Forest. 12th straight home win. Haley Van Lith.
You know,
Chester's favorite player.
Chester's favorite player.
Yeah.
Haley Van Lith.
17 points, 6 assists, 3 of 6 on threes. Wake Forest now 5 straight losses for Jen Hoover's team after starting the season 12-3, longest losing streak in about 3 years.
Yeah, it's the Deacs have been kind of a strange story here lately,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But the league is so good, man. Really is. Notre Dame's loaded. Duke's good.
Greensboro going to be fun. Greensboro's going to be fun. Good event for women's basketball.
Fantastic.
Coming up at the Coliseum. All right, on the other side, Power Hour. Anthony Polite and Dane Goodwin join the Packer and Durham program. We'll get you caught up on the weekend as well. Counting? Oh, boy. We'll do that next. Why not? Right now. See you in a minute.
Packer and Durham.